It's the Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Our next guest, A.W. Barnes, has written an engaging book about growing up as one of two gay brothers in a large conservative family in the Midwest. His book is titled The Dark Eclipse, Reflections on Suicide and Absence. Our guest's older brother, Mike, who, despite a successful career and a distancing from the father who so harshly judged him for his sexuality, ultimately dies by suicide. In a heartfelt and really heartbreaking memoir, our guest, A.W. Barnes, explores the suicide, belonging, being outcast, loneliness, and ultimately absence. He joins us now by phone. A.W., great to have you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Wow, both of us picked up your book yesterday, and, well, at least I can say I blew off several things I was supposed to do because I was so engaged in your book. And I guess it's just so heartbreaking to me to know how you and your brother grew up in this large conservative family that, right, you know, by and large didn't accept your sexuality.
That's right. And in my family, it was a large conservative Catholic family. And they understood what the good life was that you married, had children, and you stayed around Indianapolis. All of my brothers, I have seven, there were seven boys and one girl in my family, and they all lived there with their children. And Mike and I were not part of that. We knew that we would not be raising children. And because of that, we were viewed as less than. So both of us quickly in our 20s left Indianapolis and moved to the East Coast to kind of get away from that confining atmosphere that we grew up in, the kind of oppressive atmosphere.
Right. And yet it still had some trickle-down effect on both you and Mike. I think more so for Mike, because you weren't able to even use the word gay to talk to your brother about your mutual gayness.
That's right. I mean, you would think that, and I certainly thought this when I was in my 20s and Mike and I had come out to each other, that because we were gay brothers, that would necessarily mean that we would draw closer together because we had this common identity and that we both went through the same harsh environment. But on the contrary, that didn't happen. I wanted us to be close, but it was always a distant relationship. And I think it was because we were brothers first, and that was overrode any kind of sexuality, any kind of commonality with our sexuality.
A.W., in your story, it appeared to me that there were a lot of easy targets to assign blame, and I think you had to wrestle and probably are still somewhat wrestling with the difference between assigning responsibility versus right, blaming. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, that's something I do wrestle with, because it's easy to write a memoir where you blame everybody. That's not a very good memoir. You do that when you're angry, you just blame everybody. I am perhaps a little harsh and blame my father for the environment he created in which we grew up. But I also had to take responsibility for how I survived that environment, and also to recognize that the environment I grew up in, neither my father, my mother, or my brothers are evil people. They didn't create this environment maliciously. They were a product of their time, of their environment, and of their society. So it is something I wrestle with. I wrestle it with in this book. I'm certainly wrestling it again in another book I'm writing about my father.
Do you believe that there's something about the toxic nature of the environment? And, you know, you're right. I mean, everybody plays a role to some degree or another. But is there a message for your audience about creating toxic environments versus not doing that? Is there a trick to that, or a key, or something that you identified that would help people?
Well, I think that's true. I think that if you look at the environment, especially families, if they look at the environment in which they are creating in families, they might want to ask themselves, who doesn't fit within this environment? Who are we necessarily excluding? And certainly in my family, they didn't know it, but they were excluding me. And that created that toxicity. So family might ask, in this environment we're creating, who are we excluding? And could that be one of my sons, my daughters, my children? And certainly you wouldn't want to do that if you paused and thought about that.
Take us to when you and your mother and father go to identify your brother's body. And it is a heartbreaking story. And
it
my
is.
Heart breaks nearly as much for your father, although I'm angry at him at the same time for being so callous.
Right. That is a tough story, but it does tell you something about my relationship with my father and me. When my brother Mike died, he died in 1993, and I came to New York, and my mother and father came to New York to identify his body. I insisted on coming to New York to identify him. I felt that as his gay brother, it was my responsibility to do so. And so we were in the morgue here in Manhattan, and while we were waiting for the ME to come in, my father was pacing back and forth in the waiting room. And at this point in our lives, my father knew that I was gay and knew that my brother was gay. And at one point, my father came up to me, pointed his finger at me, and said, "Anyone who lives this kind of lifestyle deserves to die this way." Mm. So he, in essence, he put a curse upon me. And he put a curse upon my brother, his son, who he was about to bury in a few days. And that, of course, the interesting thing was that it was not unexpected. It did not shock me when he said that. That was a completely expected response from him, because I had grown up already knowing that my father saw the world in terms of black and white, good and evil, and there was no in-between.
Mm.
I should mention that my father, before he married my mother and had 8 children, he was studying to be a Trappist monk down in the Abbey of Gethsemane, where Thomas Merton had studied. He left the monastery and within a year was married to my mother and began having children.
8 children.
Yeah.
And within
12 years.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. And that really says something about your father, too, his own internal struggle with who he was.
That's exactly right. My brothers and sisters tell me, and first of all, they doubt that this memory is true. It is true. But they can't reconcile a father who would say such a thing. I certainly can understand that it came from my father. But they excuse it by saying that was my father's grief. And certainly that was my father's grief.
Huh.
But I have, and probably many people have experienced this, in the moment of grief, sometimes people say and show their true selves. And for me, that's what that moment was.
A.W., in your family system, and I know part of the answer to this, because some of it's kind of easy, but I'm going to ask, did you feel loved? And I know you felt loved by your mother. You talked about that, and she showed it, and you felt it. And I'm wondering about your other siblings, and I think I know, well, I'm really curious about your father. Did he love you?
Well, that's a good question, and I have this phrase in the book where I talk about growing up before my family knew that I was gay, and when I knew that I was different, at least, if not gay, my family would always say negative things about people who were gay, that they saw on the news. This is back in the 70s. They saw on the news, and they would hate these people who were gay. And on the other hand, I was their son and their brother, and they supposedly loved me. So I could never reconcile, and still can't, that hatred and that supposed love. And it's very difficult for me to reconcile those two things in my family, especially from my father, who, my father is still alive. He's 89, but he's dying of COPD. I talk to him every once in a while, not very often, maybe once or twice a year, usually on his birthday and at the holidays, so right around now. And as he's coming towards the end of his life, he does say to me now every once in a while that he loves me. Sometimes it It gets stuck in his throat, but he does express that. But I don't know what that means, because I'm sure my father still does not like the fact that he has a gay son, without question.
So for you, A.W., writing this book is a reflection, still a processing of the loss of your brother that you that undoubtedly understand, and yet you want to understand how he got there, and maybe a juxtaposition against you, who, you know, you have maybe surmounted all of the things that he couldn't. Is that part of it?
That's exactly right. And the big question, one of the big questions I have in this book, or actually, this is a question that emerged after I finished the book. It's part of the book is the question of, why did I survive? My brother and I grew up in the same traumatic, hostile environment.
Right.
He died, and in my teens, in my 20s, I had several suicide attempts and put myself in a hospital because of this. And my question is, why did I survive? That's the big question for me. And I think part of the answer is this, that my brother Mike was the golden child in our family. He was a straight-A student. He was smart in the way my family understood intelligence. Mm-hmm. He went to the University of Notre Dame. He went to Duke Law School. He worked on Wall Street as a lawyer. I was the middle boy, the middle son. I was the moody one. I was a B student. They didn't think my kind of intelligence, I have a creative intelligence that my family doesn't recognize. And so I had to experience and I had to overcome difficulties and hardships throughout my childhood. Although I had many siblings and I was surrounded by people, I had extremely lonely childhood. And I think because of that, I was able to survive. I was able to get out of my teens and 20s. I was able to move away from my family, both geographically and emotionally, and my brother was not. And when adversity struck him, or confronted him, I should say, he didn't know how to surmount it, and he collapsed, basically.
Mm. If you're just joining us, our guest is A.W. Barnes. His book is called The Dark Eclipse, Reflections on Suicide and Absence. And it makes a lot of sense, this story you tell about the difference. And we talk a lot about building resilience in our children. And that's what your survival and your thriving says to me. It's about you built resilience and Mike didn't.
That's exactly right. I mean, I had no choice as a young boy. I had no choice. The only way I was going to survive is to be resilient, and also to build up armor, as it were, so that I could survive. And part of that armor was by keeping a distance from my family, of not getting, and that's still true today, of not getting sucked back into that toxic environment.
A.W., you just brought us to today, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. With the childhood trauma that you experienced and that your brother experienced, and he didn't survive and you did survive, where are you today? How would you describe your life today?
Well, I have a great life today. I'm very happy, and I have a husband I've been married to for 26 years. We have two dogs. We live in New York. We live in up in the Hudson Valley as well. I have a successful career, but my relationship with my family is still very distant. We don't really talk. I do talk with my mother. My mother and I are still close. I do talk with her. I talk with my father on as I said, an irregular basis. But I have created a life for myself that they don't have a lot of part of.
Yeah.
And I have built very consciously boundaries between us, that they can participate in part of my life, but not all of it. And the example is, I don't know that they know I've written this book. I didn't consult them. I didn't tell them. They're happy to read it if they come across it. But that was part of keeping that boundary. So that I could live my life as a writer, and be free from them.
Well, and A.W., we're almost out of time, so this has to be a quick answer. But for people who are listening and people who read your book and face similar challenges, you just talked about creating boundaries as a helpful tool. are there helpful tools or a tool that you would recommend for people so that they can go from surviving to thriving as you have been able to do?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say that for your listeners, if there's anyone out there who is contemplating suicide right now, get help. There are 800 numbers to call, but get help. Because someone like me who thought I wouldn't last to the past my 21st birthday, I have thrived. So get help. If you know someone who is in trouble, call them. Be in touch with them so that they know that someone's there to care for them. And the second one, the last thing is really, if you are living in a toxic environment, figure out a way to get out.
Yeah. That's great advice. You know, we heard from a parenting expert that came to town and gave a talk, and he said something so interesting about suicide, which was think about killing off a part of you, not killing yourself, killing off
right.
this part of you. And what you did is the same thing, removing the toxic part, you know, killing that toxic part so you don't need to kill the whole. And that's a beautiful way to think about it.
That's exactly right. And part of it all, and quickly, is that one of the reasons I wrote this book is in order to also put a boundary around the memory of Mike that lives in my brain so he does not have influence on my day-to-day. When things get tough for me, I don't look back and go, well, he killed himself. Why can't I?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who experience family members who've committed suicide or friends, that's always a question. And for me, it was to corral him too into my memory, into the past, something that he has no say in my present life.
Oh, wonderfully said. The book is The Dark Eclipse, Reflections on Suicide and Absence. Our guest is A.W. Barnes. It's a wonderful book. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for writing
Thank
it, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Take care. And, wow, that really
Oof.
Was yeah, great book. A very important book for many of us to read.